Ecclesiastes 1, or Ecclesiastes 2, verses 10 through 11. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands have done, and the labor in which I have toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. I'd like to talk to you about materialism and how it has consumed our worlds. Though it's fueled by commercialism and greed, and the wants have become needs, and they waste their lives in its pursuits. They search for things such as cars, a bigger home, the newest electronic device, or parties and games, or thrills. Some even build empires. Take men like Steve Jobs. Before his death, he was a net worth of estimated $10.2 billion. But he's now dead, so who inherited that? He certainly didn't. A guy named Tom Cook now owns Apple. Take Bill Gates. He's worth $81.8 billion. And take another man. You may not know him, but you certainly use his product. He made Apple. I mean, not Apple. He made Facebook. His name is Mark Zuckerberg. And he's worth $56.2 billion. These men are like the rich man who built his barns, for he had much, but forgot who gets it at the end, for their soul will be required of them one day. It's truly sad to see materialism consume so many lives. How many lives have been lost to seeking vain pleasures, such as the newest iPhone, video games, movies, the greed of money, amusement parks. The list goes on and on. But these things are not inherently sinful. They only become sinful when they become a distraction and start turning you away from what truly matters, the love of God. Some even become so upset about these things that they become angry or depressed or even suicidal when these things are taken away or when they're lost. Take the Great Depression for the example. People, when the stock markets crashed, ran to the banks to withdraw their money to find that it was almost worth nothing. Some even committed suicides during this time, for they had thought they had lost everything. Take the story of Ahab and Naboth in 1 Kings 21. Ahab, being the king, wanted Naboth's vineyard, for it was close to the palace, and he pleaded with him to give it to him for a price. But Naboth said, "Surely I will not give it to you." And Ahab went away sorrowful and angry, kind of like a hissy fit. But his even got worse when his wife got involved, for she had Naboth killed for it. Take Judah. He was a follower and a disciple of Christ, yet he was a thief. He stole from the purse of the Lord, and even went so far for money that he betrayed the Lord for just a few pieces of silver. Take Solomon, the richest man that will ever be on this earth. He had nations of wealth, and any pleasure that he wanted, he could have it. But towards the end of his reign, these pleasures led him away when he started building places of worship for his many wives. He fell out of favor of God for this, and all these men lost their souls. But we need to remember the words of Jesus. In Matthew 6:19, It says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." The treasures of heaven, a few of these is love, kindness, righteousness, wisdom, and holiness. These are the important things. These are the things worth to hold to, not iPhones. The apostles knew of this. Paul, in his travels, after he was saved, he went to Asia. It doesn't make any mention that he took anything with him. He left all of that back in Jerusalem, where he was a Pharisee. But when he became a follower of Christ and an apostle, he took nothing with him on his journeys, but save for the word of God, which he took to all places, preaching it. Take Jesus. He said, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus had no possessions, nor did he need it, for he knew that God would provide the needs. We should have that same knowledge as well. God provides for our needs. We should not get carried away with what we want and not get confused with what we need. But before you go and sell all your possessions, let me make it clear. To want possessions or to even have possessions is not sinful. It only becomes sinful when it starts to interfere with your faith and love for God. Look at Philemon. Paul wrote a letter to him in regards to a slave of Philemon that he had found. It also makes mention that the local church gathers in Philemon's house. We can infer that Philemon was a wealthy man. If he had a house large enough to accommodate the entire church, and he owned slaves, then we can only infer that he had lands and money. Take Job, for example. Job, he had much. He had many flocks and cattle. He had a large house, much land. But when it was all taken away from him, and he was left with nothing, but his decrepit body that was decaying, he still held on to the faith that God was still good and God was still there for him. He did not curse God. He did not turn away from him. He did not commit suicide. He held strong. We must do the same. In conclusion, the world is full of vanities and passing pleasures. They're all around us. Some of us even have them in our pockets called phones. But we must be careful not to be swept away in these things. To remember that we are not of this world. It's not a home. We're just passing through. Our home and our treasures lay up in heaven with the Father and with Jesus. I'd like to read one more scripture. 1 Timothy 6:17. "For we brought nothing into this world, but it is certain we can carry nothing out." When we die, none of our possessions go with us. So we must find the true treasures, the ones that are in heaven. If you go to Mark 10:17-22, we read an account of a man. "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do then that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. A little further down in Mark 14, 51 and 52. Now a certain man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body, and the young men laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from him naked. The Greek word for this linen cloth means a fine fabric, something that would only be able to be in the possession of a rich man, or was a rich man. I believe that these two accounts are of the same man. The rich young man in Mark 10 did indeed sell his possessions and came to follow Jesus. Would you not do the same though? Jesus asks you to come to him, that you may be able to follow him. Put away the vanities and the pleasures of this world, for it's just passing away. He would ask you to come to him, to love him, and to be faithful to him. He asks just six little steps for you to do this. He asks you to hear the gospel, hear about his life, what he did, what he has done for you. He asks in Acts 2:37, he asks that you believe in him, believe the stories, believe what he has done to be true in your heart. Mark 15 through 16. He asks you to repent of your sins, to turn away from all the pleasures, to come to him in faithfulness. Acts 2:38. He asks you to confess him before men. Acts 8:37. He asks you to be baptized, to be washed of your sins. Acts 22:16. And then he asks you to remain faithful, to keep your focus on him and not on this world. Revelation 2:10. You have heard the message. If you have been pricked in your hearts and you want to come to Jesus, then why wait any longer? This world is only full of passing pleasures. They'll just pass away in time and you'll be left with nothing. But if you have Jesus, you'll have an eternity of treasures, an eternity to spend with the loving Father. I ask you now, if you've heard this message and been pricked, to come sit at the first pew. And if you have any other needs, if you have fallen away from the faith and been led away by the vanities, then I ask you to come now and make that right before Jesus and come sit in the first pew. If you have any need, I ask you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.